Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Welcome everyone this morning. Good morning. And everyone watching on social media, we want to say welcome. Thank you for being with us. Praise the Lord. If you will open your Bibles with me, 2 Samuel chapter 7, I want to share with you something this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. And amen when you have it. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you guys have it? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, it reads, "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.' Then Nathan said to the king," I'm going to read it again, "Go, do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you." The title of the message this morning is, "So Grateful, I Want to Do Something for My Lord." Amen. And we're going to see how David was very grateful with God, that he wanted to do something for his Lord. The Bible teaches us about David. First of all, David had a covenant with God. David had a covenant with God. And as we read, it teaches us that the king was dwelling, or he was settled in his palace. I could just imagine myself, he was just chilling, kicking back, dwelling in his house. Have you ever been there where you're just at home, your house? And there's times where all of a sudden the Lord just begins to put in you, or many times it's just you thinking about the goodness of the Lord and what God has done. And maybe at that moment you just, out of nowhere, you just want to do more or do something for God. Well, that's what happened with King David. He's dwelling in his house. And notice that the Bible says, and the Lord had given him rest. The Bible gives credit to the Lord that the Lord had given him rest. Let me remind you, church. God is the one that gives you rest. And he's going to be the one that will always give you rest of anything that you've been through or you are facing. God is the one that gives you rest. And the Bible says, and the Lord had given him rest. Notice what it says. From all, not one or two, it says all of his enemies. All around. So by this time, David, he's at his house. He's dwelling in his house. He is settled in his house. Or some translation says, in his palace. Now, you got to remember, David was highly favored of God. David was a blessed man. David was wealthy. But what catches me or gets to me is that David, and all of that, that God had given him rest, he has his palace, he's a blessed man, he has seen the hand of God on him, how God delivered him from all of his enemies, everything that the Lord had done for him. He's at his house, but then the king, now he's a king also. I want you to get this. He's a king. He lives in a palace. But even at that, the Bible says that the king, verse 2, said to Nathan, the prophet. He says, Nathan, see now, look. I am living, one translation says it this way, I am living in a beautiful cedar palace. Cedar. Another translation says, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar. Cedar at that time had a lot of value. It had a lot of value. Not just anybody lived in a cedar house or a palace. You would think that, you know, David, you know, he could have said, you know what? I have it going on. I live in a palace. I'm the king. God has delivered me from all of my enemies. You know, it's time just to kick back, relax, chill. But that's not what happened. And the Bible says that the king, David, he said to Nathan, he tells him, look, I dwell in this house of cedar, this palace. But then he says, but the ark of God was where the presence of God dwelled. That's where God dwelt, the ark of God. He says, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. What he's saying is that, look, I live in this palace made out of cedar. God's been good to me. And he could have just stopped right there. But aren't you grateful, church, that when God has been so good to you, he's blessed you. He's protected you. He has delivered you. He's done great things among you, your family, your life. But there's more. And he says, the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Like saying, okay, I have it going on. But the ark of God, the presence of God, is inside these tent curtains. Curtains. And now watch what David does. That's why the title is, I'm so grateful. I just want to do something for the Lord. Then Nathan said to the king, he tells David, Go do all that's in your heart. Now, I want you to get this because we're going to see right now. This is something that came out of David. The good intentions were there of David. David wants to do something for the Lord. And Nathan, knowing who David is, knowing that the Lord has been with David, he just tells him, he says, go and do all that's in your heart. And he tells him, for the Lord is with you. For the Lord is with you. Go do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Now remember this, David has good intentions. Nathan, the prophet, has good intentions. But notice, God had better intentions. Now remember that. God sees all your intentions when they're good. But many times, God has better intentions yet. So the Bible says, but it happened that same day, that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Now remember, Nathan is a prophet. Nathan speaks for God. And it says that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, he says, Nathan, go and tell my servant David. He tells him, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? Notice that. That's like saying, David, go tell David, is he sure he's willing to build a house for me? Because, see, David wanted to build a temple for God. Good intentions. And now God is through Nathan. He says, you tell David, would you build a house for me to dwell in? Because, see, this whole time, no one had ever told the Lord, hey, I want to dwell a temple or build a temple for you, a house for you, God. He says, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt. Now look at David's heart. He says, I live in this cedar palace, a nice house, but the Ark of the Covenant is in tents. Let me ask you, church, what's in your heart? What's your desire? That the Lord has been good to you. That God has been good to you. What are you willing to do for the Lord? David tells Nathan, hey, I want to build a temple, a house of God to replace the tabernacle. Because remember, at this time, 400 years before, God would move his children. That's why they built a tabernacle. That's where God dwelt. And they would move the tabernacle, the tent. They would move it around. But now David, he wants a dwelling place for the Lord. I mean, I think too that, okay, I'm blessed. God's been good to me. God has forgiven me. God has delivered me. God has took me out from this. God has done this. Look, everything I have, I want to do something for the Lord. the house of God. You know how many times it's so easy, church, that, and there's another passage in the Bible where it talks about how is it possible that the house of God is in ruins, but all of your houses is top of the line. That's another passage. But see, David, he's thinking and saying, no, I live in a cedar palace. God's been good to me. The presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, is in these tents. How is that like saying that? I don't think that's correct. I want to do something for the Lord. And the Bible says, God, he says, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt. See, it was God that commanded who? God commanded Moses 400 years before to build a tent. What? Why build a tent? Because that was going to be the place of meeting. And God gave instructions to Moses. When you go to the book of Exodus chapter 25, he gives them instructions of how to build this tent. But see, that's what it was before. But see, now David, different era. God is seeing everything that, David is seeing everything that the Lord has done. And David is now saying, you know what? I want to build God a house. Now, because you will read in the Bible that God never asked for a permanent building before to replace what? To replace the tent. But now David wanted to do this for who? For his God. And now David, now that they're settled in, now that they see that the Ark of the Covenant is in Jerusalem, it is safe. Now David thought, you know what? It's time to build something for God. And replace what? Replace the tabernacle. Now the question is, church, what has the Lord has been telling you to do for the house of God? David was so filled with gratitude. What has God, or how grateful are you for what God has done in your life? David wanted to do more than what God commanded. And if you think about the life of David, David was in an awesome place where David is saying, you know what? I got to do something for my God. Because sometimes, sir, we could get stuck in a certain place just thinking how little we can do. See, David wasn't thinking that way. David was thinking about how much more I can do. And sometimes we get stuck in how little can I do? Or what can the church do for me? But we got to ask, what can I do for the house of God? But see, God knew David's heart. Now, David was a man of war. He saw a lot of blood. He went through a lot of battles, a lot of wars, and God would deliver David. But think about it. This is what I want you to get. I mean, David was sold out for God. He was sold out. He gave it all to God. And God was so good to him, blessed them abundantly. But David, even in all of that, David said, I want to build a house for God. May God help us, church. We never get satisfied or stuck to we're just thinking a little bit. But think or change that mindset. How can I be a blessing? How can I help? Because God has been good to me. God has blessed me. I want to bless the Lord. And the Bible says, look at verse 7. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, I have ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribe of Israel. This is God speaking through Nathan. He says, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? What God is saying through Nathan, he's saying, when has there been one time, God is saying, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house? Like saying, when have I ever told you, hey, children of Israel, I want you to build me a house. Not once. It wasn't until David brought it up. It came out of David. He was at his home. He was settled. It just popped on him. And he just said, you know what? I want to build something. But here the Bible says, why have you not built me a house? Like saying, whom have I ever told? But then verse 8 says, now therefore thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, now here it is, church, I'm going to stop right there. But notice, David, by this time, David already knows, you know what? I have good intentions. I want to do something for the Lord, the house of God. But we're going to see that God had another plan. But let me remind you, church, God's plans are always perfect. Amen. And David, he really wanted to build the house of God. But God had another plan. And you will find out God's already thinking that his son Solomon is the one that's going to build it. Not David. Solomon, not David. But guess what? Here it is, church. Many times you might not be able to build or what you want to do here on earth for the Lord. But you could be part of the plan that God has in store. How do I know that? Because when you read the Bible, David did not build the house of God, the temple. But you know what David did? You know what he did? He says, you know what? I might not be able to build it, but I want part of this blessing. See, but many times people don't even want to be part of the blessing. One, they don't want to build. Two, they don't even want to be part. But David, when you read the Bible in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, when you read all the way verse 2 to 9, the Bible, this is what it says. Now for the house, look what David said. I want you to get this, church. See, sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are to have a house for the Lord. A house of God. You know how many, and it's not to put nobody, how many people wish to have their own house of God? And sometimes, you know, the more things that are given to us, you know, it's so easily to lose focus and forget that this is nothing but the hand of God and his grace that he has blessed this church. There would be people that would want to have a place. And with all humbleness, I say it, church. I would never say anything with the big head. No, this is only because of God that God has blessed us with this place. And this place is a house of God, house of prayer. But David said, you know what? I might not be the builder. I might not be able to build. But when you read 1 Chronicles, this is what he said. Now for the house, look what he says. The house of my God, I have prepared with all my might. You know what David was saying? You know, whatever, what I'm going to do right now, this is for the house of my God. He says, I have prepared with all my might. See, church, with all his might, with everything, maybe sweat, maybe money, maybe with talent, maybe with skills. But David said, now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might. Look what he says. Gold for things to be made of gold. Silver for the things of silver. Bronze for the things of bronze. Iron for the things of iron. Wood for things of wood. Onyx, stones to be set. And the list goes on. And then he says, moreover, because I have set my affection. See, you got to have an affection. He says, I have set my affection on the house of my God. I have given to the house of my God. Let me ask you, what have you given to the house of God? No, I'm going to say something. You might like it or not, but I'm going to shoot it anyway, so. One of the ways, 2025, the ways that you're a blessing to the house of God is by your giving. And if you think I'm crazy, read, study the Word of God. It's all over the Bible. Apart, you got people that go above and beyond that, who are givers, faithful givers, and they still make time to work or do for the house of God. You know why? Because they love God and they love the house of God. You know why? Because this is a place where they get fed spiritually. This is where they get fed to keep on going in life and overcome for his glory and honor. Now, let me ask you, what are you giving to the Lord? He says, over and above all that I have prepared for the house, the holy house, my own, look what David says, my own special treasure of gold and silver. What David is saying, out of my own gold and silver, I am giving to the house of my God. He says, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver. And I mean, you just read on and read on. Everything, silver and gold and all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Now, David had good intentions. Have you ever noticed, I'm going to say, have you ever noticed, I know you've been through this, where you've had great intentions, but God beats you to the punch. Where maybe you were saying, you know what, I'm going to bless this person, or I'm going to do this for this family, or I'm going to do this. Your intentions are good. And many times you're fighting it, but the intentions are there. But then all of a sudden, somebody, that person or that family or whomever beat you, or somebody else, and they blessed you, or somebody else blessed them. That's kind of like what happened with David. David said, I'm going to build a house of God. But God beat him and said, no, I have somebody. But notice this. I want you to get this. He says, You shall say to my servant David, this is verse 8. I want you to see this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold. God, through Nathan, is reminding David, David, you're a king right now. Remember when I took you out of the sheepfold? When you were a shepherd to sheep? You were a little 16-year-old boy, 15-year-old boy? Do you remember, church, where God took you out from? When you didn't have nothing, you were nobody. Nobody liked you. Amen? Yeah, I mean, you would show up, everybody would leave. See, God, see, what I want you to see, church, is that God doesn't forget anything. And God sees everything. And he says, thus say the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep. He says, you used to follow the sheep. And then he says, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. Now, he said, you used to follow sheep, but now you are a ruler over my people, over Israel. That's point number one right there, church. That's why David is very grateful. And sometimes, church, it's very easy that at one time we were very grateful. But then, over time, it's like we start losing it. We start losing that fire. The conviction, it's not that sensible anymore like it used to. And now, you know, we just do what church, you got to be who God called you to be. And it's so easy. Or time, or investment, or money. It's so easy. Whatever we do, it's not how it used to be towards the Lord. Where your treasure is, your heart, that's where your heart's at. Now, I know I'm a pastor, and I know what you could be thinking, you know. But church, even if you were in another church, or if you just came to visit, all of you guys are visitors this morning, I would tell you, go to your house and your church where you congregate and see what you could do for the house of God. Be the best giver. Be the best. Do the best for God's glory and honor. So God took David from the pastor now to the throne as a king. I don't know if you're seeing this, church. When he didn't have nothing to everything he now has, hear me, he still had that fire to do more for the Lord. But as time goes, many times, sure, it's so easy to bring it down some notches. We bring it down some notches. And we try to cover it up. Hear me. Now it's going to get good. Since you guys are quiet, you're going to get more quiet now. We bring in down some notches. And we try to cover it up with other things. It seems like if you're doing something, but in reality, you're not doing nothing. You're just doing the same thing. You can see, church, when someone is active on fire, when someone is doing something for the kingdom of God, you just know it. And you can also see it when it seems like you're doing something, but you're not doing nothing. It's just the same thing. David, from a sheepfold, a shepherd, to the throne of being a king, he says, think about it, what he wanted to do. Nobody had ever asked the Lord, Lord, can I make you a house? Nobody. Point number two, verse 9. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all of your enemies from before you. Look what he says. He says, hey, David, I've been with you. See, everything you've accomplished right now, church, is because of God. And keep it humble. It's been because of God. It's because of God. Every little thing, every little raise, every little car, every little income you've gotten, it's because of God. It's because of God, His mercy. All those times you've been delivered, all those times you haven't been caught, it's because of God. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And thirdly, and have made you a great name. David, everybody knows who you are because of me. Everyone knows who you are, King David. From being a little shepherd to who you are now, a king, is because of me. That's why everybody knows you. Hallelujah. Glory. Everybody knows you, David. Everybody knows your name. They hear David and they already know this is a man who's after God's own heart. But notice, church, David, God is reminding David, David, from being a shepherd to being a king, I've been with you all this time. Have taken care of all of your enemies. And I have made you a great name. And he goes on. He says, there's more. He says, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. And I will plant them. And they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. They're not going to have to be moving no more. Now they're going to have a dwelling place. Nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them anymore as previously. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all of your enemies. Also the Lord tells you that he will make you. Now here it is, church. At the end, look what he says. Also the Lord, because Nathan is speaking for God, and he's telling David. Also the Lord tells you, this is what the Lord is telling you, David, that he will make you a house. Hallelujah. See, God beat him to the punch. David had good intentions, but God always has greater and better plans for your life, church. He said, no, David, that's cool. I get it. You're very grateful. And I know you want to build me a house. But as you read on, you will learn. But you're not the one. It's going to be your son Solomon that's going to build it. He says, but God tells him, but I'm going to build you a house. You know what that house was? A dynasty. His family, his generations. Hallelujah. Church, this morning, church, are you still fired up? Do you still want to do more for the Lord? Are you doing things halfway? At one time you would do them completely, now they're just halfway. It's not obedience, now it's half disobedience. Come on, church, you got to get fired up. You got to get fired up every day. In your own walk with Jesus, you got to get fired up. Don't follow the the crowd. Do what God has called you to do, and do it for his glory and honor, because he is worthy of all praise and honor and glory forevermore. And when you go all the way, as you continue to read this chapter 7, the Bible says that King David, after all he heard through God by Nathan, it says, then King David went in and sat. Notice what it says. This got my attention. Then King David went in and sat before who? Before the Lord. And he said, look at David's humbleness. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? Notice, did you see what he says? That you have brought me this far. And yet this was a small thing. He says, this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. So church, recognize that the Lord has been good to you. I dare you, double dare you, to do something for God's kingdom, for his house. And if it's not this house, do it another house. Care. God's, this place is blessed. So don't ever think, church, don't ever think that whatever I'm preaching is to try to put guilt on you. That's the least, that's the last thing I would ever think, church. Because God, I know my God. God takes care of this place. He takes care of this place. Everything up till now, I don't know who I was talking to. I think it was Brother George Vidalis. Everything that we have, church, it's because of the grace of God. And we have never, never, not once, hear me, not once have I got behind a pulpit or exhorted the church. Even when we didn't have this place where we started, not once have I ever said, church, we are very behind. We are struggling. We need to do this and this and that. Not once up to this point. But I keep it humble. That is not to say that it cannot happen. But I can assure you, God has been so good to this house. I want you to get that. Not once have I said, church, you know, this and that. That you leave and say, you know what, man, I feel pressure because a pastor keeps pounding on us that this and that. That's why you teach your people. I said you teach your people. That's why you have a duty to read and study the word of God and see what the Bible teaches. So that whenever I'm up here, you can compare to what you read, to what you study. So we give God all the glory and honor and praise forever. Please stand, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.